These are the Keshi Tapes. U-Man and Favaz explore the backstories and interviews heard on Keshi, the longest-running rock station in the country.
Hey, everybody, it's time for another Keshi Tapes episode. I'm John Hewlett.
Favaz here.
Hi, Favaz.
Hi, John.
And today we're going to go back to the year 2008, and it's an interview I did with Judas Priest, three members of Judas Priest, and the three main members. That would be Rob Halford, K.K. Downing, and Glenn Tipton, and they were all on the phone.
That is a tough one. I mean, in reality, I mean, those are the that's the core of Judas Priest.
Right.
They could have just done Rob Halford, but to have three dudes on the phone like that, it's going to be. And you know, Rob's going to dominate. That's what I'm thinking. I haven't heard it yet.
Yeah, most likely. But half the time, you don't know who's really answering your question.
Right. Yeah, you don't.
You know, unless I directed a specific question to a specific guy. I don't know how many times I did that. We're going to find out. But yeah, it's I had to deal with what I had to deal with.
Judas Priest is one of those bands that Keshi supported back in the early days, and they remember that. Mm-hmm. And I met them and thought I was doing an interview with them, and I didn't. And I'll tell that story later.
Okay. Now, in 2008, they were releasing an album called Nostradamus.
Yes.
And they'll talk about it here at length, and let's get going with the interview.
All right.
And today's interview comes from Minidisc.
Yes.
And roll. And we have with us on the phone Judas Priest, three members of Judas Priest, Glenn Tipton, K.K. Downing, and Rob Halford. Good morning, gentlemen. A lot of exciting things. Problems right off the bat. Huh? Who? What's that? What's going on with the band right now?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Nostradamus is about to be unleashed to the world on June the 17th. Our first ever concept record. An hour and 40 minutes of blazing metal telling the story of this incredible man's life.
What brought this about? Why a concept album at this point in your careers?
We just felt it was the right time. We'd, after Angel of Retribution, which was a reunion album, and, you know, an album we're very proud of, we thought, you know, what can we do next? We've always looked for different things to do. I mean, every album's had its own identity of Judas Priest. We always say it's like a different chapter of the same book. And so we wanted something new to tackle, and we talked about a concept album. And our manager, Bill Kerbishley, suggested Nostradamus, and once we looked into his life, and saw how interesting his actual life was, let alone his predictions, it just inspired us, and off we went on a magical writing journey, which has ended up as a magical mystery tour now, an hour and 40 minutes of Priest classical operatic music, which depicts the life and times of Nostradamus.
Classical operetta music. Interesting. Mixed in with Judas Priest. Now,
who was that talking, John?
That
was either KK or Glenn. Can't tell.
No. No idea. Now, they're not the first to do something about the artist Nostradamus. Al Stewart has a Keshi classic called Nostradamus.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's an 8 or 9 minute song, and it's a good song. So, you know, there's a little history on rock and Nostradamus. Very little history, not much, because nobody really knows that song except the hardcore Keshi classic fans. But
right. And for those that don't know Nostradamus, he was a guy that predicted many things that would happen hundreds, if not, I don't even, was he around 1,000 years ago? But he predicted stuff that would happen in the future.
Yes.
So,
matter of fact, he predicted my male pattern baldness.
Did he?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Nailed it, too.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, do you think your fans will see this as a important step forward in your careers? Will some of them say, oh, that's not Judas Priest? What do you expect from them?
I think they'll be very much surprised, because even though we stepped into areas that we wouldn't normally step into in a Judas Priest album, by the time it's all been finished and put together, it very much is surprisingly still Judas Priest.
Mm-hmm. And you can do something like this at this point in your careers too. I mean, you know, you have a strong following, you've been around a long time. If a band can take chances out there, it's probably a band like Judas Priest.
Well, I think that all through our careers, I think Priest has been known for really, you know, attempting to push the boundaries of metal every which way that we can. Yep. To broaden, you know, the fan base through our albums. And I think it's fair to say that it's going to be no surprise that there might be a little surprise, you know. But definitely the Nostradamus album, I think that is hopefully the long-awaited masterpiece from Priest. I think something that's pretty unique. I said, but we worked very hard.
Yeah, I was the whole time thinking to myself, I'm going to make a prediction for you. This album ain't going to sell worth a damn, but didn't have the balls. And another question, a good question would have been, what if you're someone like me and you don't believe anybody can predict the future? How do you buy into that? I don't know if I asked that or not, but we'll see. If not, I'm asking it now.
Okay.
Long on the record, and we're very proud of it. And I say, not just the record itself, as Rob said, which is an hour and 40 minutes. It's great artwork, and the whole thing is a package. It's definitely, if you are a Priest fan, then it's definitely a must for the collection.
I think in terms of musical content, the great moment that we've just shared with everybody, the two moments, the title track, Nostradamus, that was an indication that this is still the Priest that you love, and as KK was saying, we've been making metal for over three decades, right from rock and roller to Nostradamus, and we're the only metal band that really has pushed the boundaries. We've done just about everything, and it seems that this has all been leading up to this moment in Nostradamus. So the tracks that you've been playing at KC with Nostradamus and Visions, that's just a little taste. There's 13 distinctive metal moments on this release, and they're full of character, full of metal, full of adventure. We've got the speed of the title track. We've got the more subtle moments. Priest is famous for the light and the shade. The power, and then pulling back a little bit, mixing it up. This is just a real combination of the great journey that we ourselves have been on, let alone Nostradamus.
Sorry, John.
I was yawning over there. Yeah, I know it is kind of boring. And to if I'm not cor- if I'm I believe I'm correct in this. I think it was a double album.
Oh, he said it was an hour. He's either saying an hour and 14 minutes or an hour and 40. Well,
that would be a double album.
That would.
Yeah.
Did you also know that Glenn Tipton? He's not in the band anymore. He doesn't perform live because he has Parkinson's disease.
Yes.
But it was he first noticed it in the year that you did this interview, 2008.
I'll be darned.
How about that?
Thomas.
They say you can tell if somebody's developing Parkinson's disease by their voice, holding a note, holding a certain note. And if it warbles, they say that could be a sign of Parkinson's disease.
My mom had it.
Yeah, did
for
she?
Years,
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So keep that in you. I don't know if it's hereditary or not, but maybe, you test
I'm
yourself.
I'm worried about it.
You test yourself every once in a while.
Yeah.
Back to the riveting spew of mindless
spew is correct.
Information. Yeah. Here we
All
go.
Right.
Seems that everything has been, directed towards this special moment. It's been great for ourselves as writers to put this together and to record it and to get it ready for release, but especially for the fans, they've been wanting this from us for many, many years, so it's a shared moment of pleasure.
Do you use real elements of an orchestra on the album?
There are real strings on there, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We actually composed some of this on keyboards to try and get a slight different angle on it and transpose it to guitar, and we've used a lot of guitar synthesizers on there. And we had Don Airey come on and play some better sounding strings than our one fingered rendering. and then we got
courtesy laugh right there. Sorry, got to throw those in once
courtesy
in a while.
Courtesy laugh.
By the way, this has got a long way to go. I don't know if you have much more time on your hands, but
does it really? How much longer?
Over three minutes.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay,
that's fine.
A guy to come and put some real strings on to give the album some air. But we don't want to create the wrong impression. It's not orchestrated all over the place. It's not another rock band goes orchestra.
Uh-huh.
It's just where we feel it's necessary to create the right mood and drama and moment.
I'll tell you, when Scorpions went orchestra, that was good.
I don't even remember that.
You remember when Rock Me Like a Hurricane they did with the orchestra?
Oh, that thing. Yeah, that was good.
That was really good, man. Mm-hmm. So it's funny how orchestration has always seemed to fit in music when your mind tells you that doesn't work orchestration with rock and roll or heavy metal or whatever, but it always seems to fit.
Metallica.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I thought that sounded
great.
They just
did one. They just did another performance with the orchestra not that long ago, and Lars Ulrich said the best part about the whole evening was there was no barricade, so the audience could be up close.
Oh, really?
Like, they were, like, right around them, yeah. And that's what you can do with an orchestra. You know, it was cool.
Because a full orchestra's sound is powerful.
Yeah.
So, you know, it has always fit. Just when you would think it doesn't, you hear something again, you go, wow, it does fit. And going back to the Moody Blues, I mean.
Yes.
So it's not exactly littered with orchestration, but where we use it effectively.
I'm speaking here with Glenn Tipton, K.K. Downing, and Rob Halford of Judah. And I don't know which one's speaking any time, but hey, let's keep going. What do you say?
This priest, we don't have much time left. Fellas, you had that, I guess, a dozen years or so where you weren't together, and now you've been back together for a number of years. How does a band reassemble like that? I mean, because it's such a complicated thing, a rock and roll band with personalities. And how do you do that and then keep it going and then still put forth new, dynamic, interesting material at this point?
Good question. Priest has always been together. I stepped out for a while, but Priest was always there. You know, Tim came in for a couple of great moments with Jugulator and Demolition. Priest has been around.
Tim the Ripper.
Yes, Tim the Ripper Owens.
Yeah, yeah.
And in fact, the name Judas Priest will have been around for 40 years next year.
And by the way, The Ripper is another great Judas Priest song.
Yes,
that's Acacia
it is.
Classic,
it
man.
Is.
Love that song. Mm-hmm. Back to the interview.
The Ripper!
It's absolutely extraordinary. Obviously, when we reunited, that was something that we were absolutely thrilled and delighted to experience again. You know, the chemistry, whatever you want to call it, was back in place. We had a wonderful reunion experience with Angel of Retribution, and I think all of that special, you know, the psychology of that, whatever you want to call it, was just fantastic, and it geared us up for this next spectacular event, you know, after Angel of Retribution, that was just a really well-received record, got great music on there, bright metal. This was waiting in the wings, so to speak. You know, we've kind of alluded to the fact that Nostradamus predicted this was going to happen, in many ways, it feels like it did. Mm-hmm. Because it was just a joy to make.
Did he predict that a band named Judas Priest would put out a record with his name on the title of the record?
I don't think he did.
Okay.
But I don't even know what he's referring to there. Predict what?
A massive task to put together an hour and 40 minutes of metal this far on in our career.
I'm sure there'll be a tour here. Now, how will you handle the music on stage in the tour? Will you do this in the entire Nostradamus?
We're going to perform. Yeah, we intend to perform the Nostradamus
in its entirety.
In its entirety next year. We shall be playing tracks from it this summer when we go out, and a lot of Priest classics as well. But we do want to put the whole thing together next year and perform the whole thing, and try and pick some special venues around the world so we make real event of it.
Very good, fellas. Thank you for being with us here on KC95. You know, we've been big supporters for a lot of years.
Yeah, we just got to quickly mention that St. Louis, Acacia especially, was one of the first radio stations that picked up on Priest, and we'll always be grateful for that connection, you know. So there's always an affection with KC, and we always look forward to coming back to seeing you guys in the St. Louis area. So, yeah, the Priest is back, and we're ready to go, ready to roll.
Very good. Glenn Tipton, K.K. Downing, Rob Halford, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you. Well, buddy.
Good luck.
Thank you.
There you go.
Yeah.
I got to be honest, I never listened to the album.
Me either.
Yeah.
I don't care. I just remember the old days of Judas Priest, and I think a lot of people do. And in 2004, I went with Tony Buzicruz, our then marketing director out in L.A., and there was an Ozfest press conference. And I've told the story before, kind of, but... you know, there was, you know, Zakk Wylde was there, Ozzy.
This is before the...
this was right after the incident.
That's one of our podcasts. If you've not listened to the Zakk Wylde podcast, you must do that. Because something happened between he and Favaz that was scary.
Yeah, even the U-Man was scary listening to it here. Anyway, I went to interview... the priest, I walked up to him, and Rob Halford, and I had a Casey shirt on, and he immediately said, Casey, the pig, you know, he knew exactly what it was, and I sat there and did the interview, and it didn't record.
Oh,
so
damn it.
It was one of those, and I had Ozzy, and I don't remember, it was on Was it on the DAT player? But remember when you paused it, or if you stopped it, it would go back and re-record? I don't know. Something weird happened. But that was my you know. And I had I had dinner with Rob Halford once near Mississippi Nights when he was with his band Fight. I believe that picture is in the bathroom here at Hubbard Studios.
Oh yeah, it's autographed.
Yeah, it's autographed. So I had dinner with Rob Halford and Abigail Pale, our then marketing director, and Tony Jordan was there. And I just remember Rob being a super cool guy. And
what'd you guys talk about at dinner?
I don't remember, but he was with his boyfriend. Oh. And I had no clue that Rob Halford was gay until then. I was just like, oh my God. You just
thought he was a buddy.
Had no idea. And then, all these years later, I see him at the press conference and I do this interview and it didn't record.
Oh,
so.
Man. Well, yeah. We've all had our mishaps.
Yes, we have.
I got a Todd Rundgren.
I don't feel so bad telling you of all people.
Yeah,
stories like that.
And there are other interviews I've done in the past that I thought the machine was running and it wasn't.
Right.
You know, I can't give you the name of the individual I was interviewing at the time, but the most recent one for me was the Todd Rundgren interview, where we did this fantastic interview with Todd Rundgren because he's renowned for not really wanting to talk much.
Right.
But for whatever reason that morning, he was just full of information and answering every question in depth that I ever would want to ask Todd Rundgren. And I was watching it record. It was recording fine. So I hit save, apparently, and I guess I hit exit before it was totally saved, and the computer just dropped.
Something happened.
That sick feeling in your stomach.
Yeah, it really was.
Just makes you want to throw up.
Yeah,
man.
It was a sick feeling. Yeah. But thinking about Priest and thinking about heading out to the highway and living after midnight and that whole period right there, how good were they? They were a good, hard, heavy metal rock band.
Absolutely. So. And they still are to this day, man. Yeah. I mean, to go see Judas Priest, and we missed him here because the Blues were winning the Stanley Cup.
Oh, that's right.
So, it's like, what are you going to do? You're going to go down there? You're going to go watch the Blues? So I missed their show. But they really are spectacular. And getting back to, losing out on great interviews, this podcast, this KSU Tapes podcast, really puts into focus how important losing something like that really is.
Yeah.
Because this is all history that is never going to be repeated again.
Right.
These artists are not going to be around forever. All these things need to be preserved. So whatever you could have gotten was going to be gold.
Right.
And to throw some gold away is... Yeah.
Thanks for reminding me.
Sorry. Yeah. I'm feeling worse.
Great.
Well, I made myself feel worse, too.
Thanks for making me feel good.
All right. This is over because we feel like crap.
That's it on a downer. Debbie Downer.
All right. See you all later. Thanks for listening. You can follow me on Twitter at STLUman or on Twitter or on Instagram, Johnny Hewlett.
And see you next week, John, because it'll be episode 52. It'll be 1 year.
Wow. Yay! That's right.
Hey.
Adios.
AMF.
My friend. My downtrodden friend.
The KSU Tapes with U-Man and Favaz. For more on the history of KSU, go to KSU95.com or the KSU mobile app.